Welcome to the Software Testing Podcast, sponsored by ASTQB. ASTQB, the American Software Testing Qualifications Board, is the U.S. board for the internationally recognized ISTQB Software Testing Certification. Our mission is to promote professionalism in software testing in the United States. We are pleased to present these podcasts as a service to the software testing community and invite you to learn more about ASTQB at astqb.org.
Welcome to another ASTQB Software Testing Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about advanced level certification. That's a topic that is in the back of many testers' minds. There are now, as we just recently announced, 25,000 certified testers at the foundation level, and many of those have already moved on to an advanced level and even expert level certification. But we really wanted to get some of the inside scoop about advanced level certification, and I'm so pleased we've invited Tom Adams, who has both advanced level certifications as well as expert level certification, and he has offered to join us today and answer all those questions about advanced level certification that maybe you were afraid to ask. So, Tom, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Dave, and I do appreciate the invite. For one thing, this is something that whenever I'm talking with my fellow testers, you know, it always comes up, and it seems like, you know, it's definitely a topic of discussion every time I go to a conference. So it is fun to talk about because there's a lot involved in it. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, so before we start, and can you give us a little bit of background just for context in your history of software testing?
Okay. Well, I started way back in the dark ages, if you will, with doing, you know, basic QA and then a little bit of software QA, but nothing really structured. But probably about 25 years ago, I started getting involved in, you know, really structured software testing and starting with manual testing, I think, like most people do. Eventually, I worked on doing automation. I learned, you know, some WinRunner and some LoadRunner and did a lot of that. And so eventually worked on test management. And that's where I am now today is as a test manager for a large enterprise. And I cover actually five different major enterprise areas that I'm managing all the testing for. And so that's kind of where I'm at today. And acquiring the certifications has been just kind of an ongoing process for probably the last 8 years. So It's not like I went out and took a month and got all my certifications, but you know, it was something I worked at systematically over time. And I'd say the first obstacle I had overcome really was kind of a fear factor, you know, kind of a fear of failure.
Really?
I had my foundation certification.
Okay.
But there was this kind of a reluctance, you know, to kind of step out there and go after my first advanced one. And so I'm trying to talk my boss into sending me to training for the advanced. And he goes, well, I'll send you to training, but, you know, you'd probably pass the exam even without going to the class, you know, because he knew my experience, you know, my depth of experience.
And, well, yeah, that's, you know, I was a little bit surprised that you were even fearful in the first place because you did have that depth of experience.
Well, yeah, but I think it's kind of human nature that, you know, I'm doing okay now. Do I really want to take that quote risk, you know? And so that kind of broke the ice. And so I went there and I got my first advanced. And then I realized it really wasn't that scary and it wasn't that bad. And so then I worked on my next one and my next one, you know. And then looking back on it, it's like, why did I wait so long to take my first advanced exam? You know, and it's just, you know, each person has their own things that, you know, that they prioritize or that's going on in their head. And so that was my personal obstacle, right? So
yeah,
I really identify with people that are wondering.
Yeah, I mean, well, so here's the bottom line question. Are they difficult? Are they just incredibly difficult and you should be scared walking in?
So here's my thought on that, because I really have two answers. The first answer is yes, they are difficult, but the second answer is no, they're really not that difficult. And here's why you have two answers, right? It's sort of like luck, right? So the people who prepare tend to be luckier than people who don't prepare. So I would say if you properly prepare for each one of the exams, you're going to walk in and then you're going to go, why was I worried about this? Because you know the material, you know, and so all the tests are made to do is to try to determine, have you learned the material? Well, if you've learned the material, you're going to pass the exam. And then you're going to look back and you go, well, it wasn't that tough. But if you walk in and you cram and you take like the syllabus and you spend, 2 days just, poring over the syllabus, and then you walk in and try to, take the exam 2 days later, you may or may not pass, but it's going to be, I'm going to say probably won't pass. But the second thing is, it's going to be incredibly difficult because you didn't prepare for it. You didn't really study for it. You didn't really learn the material. You just crammed for it. And so I really think that's the core issue. We want them to be difficult in the sense that we want them to reflect an advanced level of testing knowledge, right? And so when an employer or somebody else looks at your advanced certification, they know that an advanced level of software testing knowledge, and you bring that experience and knowledge to their business. And so we want them to feel comfortable and confident that this is meaningful. And we want your certification to be meaningful. So it can't be easy, right, and still be meaningful. On the other hand, we also want it to be fair. We don't want there are no trick questions. It's just a matter of reflecting your knowledge of the areas. And so if you've done a normal job, first of all, if you have some experience testing, you really can't take the advanced exam without having experience in testing, right? But you don't have to be like this 20-year expert to take the advanced exam, right? It's just,
I think it's like a 3-year prerequisite or something like that.
Right.
3 years of experience. Yeah.
If you've got your foundation and you've spent 3 years of testing, and you prepare for the advanced exam, you should have no problem passing it whatsoever.
Well, you mentioned foundation. So if you've taken foundation, it's been 3 or more years since you took your foundation, or maybe it's been a couple of years and you're thinking down the road a little bit. How do the advanced exams compare to that foundation level exam?
Well, for one thing, so if you look at a syllabus, and the nice thing about the latest way that both the ISTQB and the ASTQB have organized the syllabi is that it used to be just one big giant syllabus, right? And basically your instructions were, here, take the syllabus and read everything in it and learn everything in it. And then for something like, let's say, the Advanced Test Manager, the test would pull out the things that were relevant to test management, and test you on those. But there was no real way to know which areas you needed to concentrate on and which ones you didn't, right? So that made an extremely difficult process. In fact, that was the process I was faced with when I first took my exam, my first exam. But now what they've done is they've said, look, there's 3 different exams. So we're going to have 3 different syllabuses with 3 different sets of learning objectives. And so this will allow, if I'm studying for, let's say, the test manager advanced exam, I'm going to be focusing on things that a test manager needs to know. And I'm not going to have to learn the things that are only going to be appropriate for for example, the technical test analyst. And so that makes it a lot easier to focus on the things you need to focus on for the certification you're going for, because not everyone's going to be a technical test analyst, right? So why are we going to burden them with having to learn, you know, technical testing, when that's not what they're going to be doing. And that's not what we're going to be certifying them for. So it's really actually a much easier process in that way than it used to be.
Okay, so you kind of mentioned there a little bit. So there are three kind of what ISTQB likes to call the core advanced certifications, which are test analyst, technical test analyst, and test manager. And we can talk about some of the new specialty ones in a moment. You have test analyst and test manager right now. Is that correct?
Actually, I have all three. So I have
technical test analyst.
Didn't answer your question. I didn't answer your question before. So you asked, how do they compare to the foundation level exam?
Well, yeah.
So let me go back and actually answer that question. So the thing is, in the original foundation exam, it was a broad overview of the entire area of testing. So you got a little bit of test management. You got a little bit of test analyst, and you even got a little bit of the technical test analyst, right? So, but it was all at a fairly low level. You need to know the terms, you need to understand the concepts, and those kinds of things, right? We want to make sure that you've got a good, solid, as the test says, foundation. So in these advanced exams, they're going to go now the next step, and they're going to say, you not only understand the terms and the concepts, but you're able to take those terms and concepts and then apply them to real life situations and real life testing situations and come up with a correct solution. And that's what the advanced exam test, and that's the difference.
Okay. So, that's perfect. That's perfect. So with all of that in mind, so you had that foundation level, covers a little bit of everything, and now you can start getting into the higher levels. And you're the perfect person to ask this question of, What direction do you go? I mean, I guess I could ask which one you started with, but as you noted, not everybody wants or needs to know the information that an advanced technical test analyst might, for example. How do you wrap your mind around this as someone who's considering advanced certification?
So I would go with the philosophy of begin with the end in mind. So think about, you know, take some time to just think about, where do I want my career to go, you know, in the short term? And then where do I really want to end up in the long term? In other words, let's say 5 years from now, I want to picture, what is Tom going to be doing 5 years from now? And what do I want to be doing, right? I mean, when I'm sitting there thinking about that, and I feel like, you know, I really want to manage and lead a team of testers, you know, and that's really what I want to do. And I'm really, you know, I can test, obviously I can do manual testing, but I don't really want to sit there and do that and write test cases all day and just execute test cases, because that just doesn't interest me. But I really like testing as a whole, and I really want to help people do testing. I want to manage the thing. Well, then obviously I would say, you know, test management is more what you're looking for, right? Now, you may be the opposite person, right? You may be a person, you know, I hate paperwork and I hate HR and I really don't want to, you know, I don't want to tell Jim and Joe and Sue what to do. I just want to sit there, be left alone, and let me test my stuff, okay? And in that case, you probably want to look first at the, you know, the regular advanced test analyst. If you're kind of a programmer type person, or you've been a programmer, or you want to do programming, or you want to be able to go more into depth in the code and read the code and really get into white box testing and really find ways to come up with, even, you know, if you're doing your black box testing, that's fine. And, that's more the advanced test analyst. But if you really want to get in and read the code and construct your test cases based on the technical aspects of the code, well, then you're going to want to do the technical test analyst. And I would say also, if you're going to be doing any kind of automation, then you also need to be looking seriously at the technical test analyst, because there's no way you can write effective automated code that does a credible job of testing software and coming up with meaningful results if you cannot read code and you cannot construct tests based on code. So I would say go in automation. You're going to need to go down the advanced test analyst and then the technical test analyst path. If you're really only wanting to do management and you really want to kind of be a test lead and a test manager, and that's really kind of your focus, then I would go first to the test manager.
Okay. And that makes sense.
But I think you really need to look at getting all three of them.
Okay. Well, and then how does that lead into any of the specialty exams? Because you just mentioned automation. Does then the technical test analyst feed into the test automation engineer? Is that kind of the natural progression at that point?
I would say so. But, you know, since you brought those up, they're not necessarily, quote, advanced. But really, there are two certifications out now that, while they're technically offshoots of the foundation level, and they don't have the tag of advanced, but the two that really stick out for me are the Agile and the mobile, certified mobile tester. And something I want our testers to think about is, as you look at job postings, more and more, almost all of them want Agile experience. And then if the last conference I was at where they talked about mobile testing, mobile applications and platforms are probably in the next 5 years going to be as revolutionary to what we're doing in software as the internet was 10 years ago or 15 years ago. So I think there's going to come a point at which if you do not at least understand mobile testing and how it's going to impact you, then you're going to be behind the curve. So in the discussion of all these certifications, I don't want people to overlook the necessity of both Agile and mobile testing. Even if you think our company doesn't do mobile, we don't have anything in the mobile business. And maybe that's going to be true, but I would say that in 5 years or so, there's going to be a whole lot of companies that didn't think they were going to do mobile that now they aren't doing mobile. They're not going to be competitive. So, and really, what's a smartphone, right? It's a computer that happens to be able to make phone calls, right?
Right.
So it really is its own serious computer. It's just, it happens to be able to make phone calls. Well, that doesn't mean you can just ignore it in terms of platforms. So don't let those get lost either. So I would say that while you're also working on some of your advanced, you need to also make a plan for certainly for Agile, and then also at some point in your future, also the mobile testing, because you're going to need that. I guarantee if you're planning to be a tester 10 years from now, you're going to need that mobile certification. You want to be able to tell a potential employer, your existing employer, hey, by the way, yeah, I'm certified in mobile testing.
Yeah. So that's true, I guess, not only for the individual testers, but if you're a manager or a director, you want to be thinking ahead as well and make sure that your test team or teams are knowledgeable in those areas as well. And this is really the time to kind of get ahead of that curve. Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. So how do you, for any of these, and I think mobile and agile, those being at the foundation level may be a little bit different, but as we think about advanced, which does have that next step up in terms of knowledge and the ability to apply that, how do you prepare for the advanced level exam?
Well, the good thing is, I kind of hinted at this earlier, The great news is that the syllabus have been laid out in such a way so that you know what you need to focus on. But also, I'm going to give you a couple of tips that will help you study for them in a way that's even more effective.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the glossary. So it used to just be, here's your glossary, here's all the terms you need to know. And it was, a multiple thick page document of all these testing terms. And there's no way anyone under the sun could have memorized all these terms, you know, and bring them all back for an exam. Well, what they did was they went ahead and they made notes in the actual document. So if you download the latest document from the ASTQB website, they will actually have a code next to the terms that will tell you which exams you need to know which terms you're testable for. Okay. So for example, all the foundation terms will have an F to the left side, and then TTA for the technical test analyst. And you'll see some will be have more than one, but some will just have one. And so the ones that, for example, let's say you're taking the ATA, then, you know, you'll look for the terms that have an ATA to the left. Those are the ones you need to know. And all the rest of them, you can just ignore for purposes of the test. Now, obviously, the one caveat is everything in the foundation is still testable in any of the advanced exams. And there will be questions that go back to the foundation material, and it's completely testable. And I guarantee there's at least a few questions that actually go back to the foundation. So it's assumed that you know the foundation material when you take an advanced exam. So that being said, you still want to make sure you understand all your foundation stuff, but then you can now concentrate on the particular advanced exam that you're going to take. So the first one is the glossary, but it's already been coded for you. And the second one, and this is a really big hint, you're going to have, let's say, the test manager syllabus, and it has all the material that is testable for that test manager exam. But even in that specialized syllabus, not everything in that syllabus is going to be on the test. So here's how you tell what's going to be on the test. You actually read the document, and they have learning objectives. So at the beginning of every chapter, every section, there's going to be a series of learning objectives. And these learning objectives are what the ISTQB and the ASTQB have decided that of this material, here's what we want you to demonstrate that you've learned in order to get our certification. And so even in the section, you know, if you pull up a section, it may have, you know, 17 pages, but maybe there's only three learning objectives. Well, of those 17 pages, you need to know the material that meet those three learning objectives. So even this will save you study time. And the idea is it's all helpful and it's all good to read. And but the things you really need to know are those learning objectives and everything that relates to those learning objectives.
Those are great tips. Those are great tips. You know, I read an article in the ASTQB newsletter written by someone who had taken and passed the advanced level certifications, and she had said that she self-studied, read books, did different things like that, and was successful. But in hindsight, she wishes that she would have received formal training because, one, I think it's at least at the at any level, it for many people it's very difficult to self-study. And secondly, it would have been easier. She would have had some camaraderie. She would have had someone guiding her through the learning objectives, et cetera, et cetera. What are your thoughts there?
I totally agree, and I think that the hindsight is very accurate. So like with my manager that I mentioned earlier, you know, back towards the beginning, where he goes, well, Tom, I'm going to sign you up for the training, but you know, you could pass that exam without taking the class. And I'm like, well, maybe. I mean, of course, I told him, yeah, of course, but I really wanted the training. But because he was more confident than I was at that time. But no, I agree. For one thing, if you're taking the advanced training, the people that you're going to be with are also people that are very experienced testers. And so you're going to be in a whole different group of people that you're going to sit there for 3 to 4 days with and really develop, as she said, camaraderie and sharing and passing notes and comparing experiences and just informally building, you know, those relationships, as well as you can help each other study for the exam, and you're more motivated, I think. It's a little more motivational. Mm. I think you absolutely benefit from that. In addition, the person who's going to be giving you your advanced class is also going to have a lot of additional insights and things as he covers the material, or he or she covers the material. And those two will help you not only pass the exam, but become more, you know, of an advanced level tester. And when something, a concept doesn't really quite, you know what it says on paper, but it doesn't really translate into how does this work mm-hmm. in real. For example, in my technical test analyst class, you know, they have, you know, some very advanced concepts in terms of, you know, selecting data sets to test certain types of code. And, you know, at one level, okay, I sort of get it, but at another level, I really needed the instructor to really demonstrate to me how this really works in the real world. Okay, so in a real yeah. code, here's the kind of data we're going to use, you know, and then it made sense. And then I understood it. And of course, then I passed the test. But yeah, there's definitely a benefit to having someone that you can write on the spot, say, I don't understand this, please go over it again. Whereas if you're just sitting there and you have the document on, you know, on your own, you know, you're going, well, I don't really get it, but one, I may have a 25% chance of getting it right on the exam anyway, just out of random luck, or, you know, hopefully the other questions will make up for it, you know, I'll still pass. And that's not where you really want to be. You really want to understand the concepts. And I think being in the class really helps. So I encourage everyone, if it's possible, now not everyone has that opportunity, right? So if you don't have the opportunity to go, then, you know, then self-study is what you have left. But if you do have that opportunity, I do believe it's totally worth it. Yes.
Yeah. No, I really I think at the advanced level, I've never heard anybody disagree with that concept. They absolutely, if you have any ability to take formal training, they are very happy that they did so. And as you noted, I think it's very easy when you're self-studying to think, I probably understand it well enough, but there's no way to bounce it off somebody else.
There's no way to check it. Level that there are people that I've gone to class with there are people that I went to classes with, you know, back in the day, even that even today we still, you know, exchange emails now and then, and so we still have that professional relationship, which is really good.
No, that is really good. All right, so let's say you're feeling confident in your abilities, that you have enough experience. You've now decided, you've thought 5 years in the future, you know what you want to do. You started to look at some of the materials. You have taken the course. You're fully well-trained and you're ready to take the exam. Are there any yep. tips for taking that exam?
Well, the first thing you do, of course, there are, you know, just general test taking tips. Well, one thing that I've been lucky in is that I tend to test well. You know, there are people that have a better time test, you know, taking a test than others, and I tend to do pretty good on tests anyway. But so I would say one of the first things is to just go through and answer all the ones that you for sure know that are, you know, fairly quick and easy for you to answer. And then I would go back through, because it is the advanced level, there are going to be some practical exercise type questions. And then you want to go back through, and then I work on the practical exercise type questions where you have to kind of, maybe you have to map out a a functional diagram or something like that, or you have to fill in a decision table, you know, things like that, in order to answer the questions. So those are a little more time consuming. So those are the ones that I do next.
Okay.
And then finally, the third ones that I go back through, and the ones that were kind of stumpers, sometimes after you've gone through the whole exam twice now, because you've done the easy ones and now the exercise ones, sometimes then those come through and you understand them. It's like, okay, you didn't understand it the first time through, but now that I've got the context of all the questions, I get it, and I think I know that answer, and you just go ahead and answer it. But when you're really having to think about it and study it, you know, but those are the ones I leave for last. And then just go through and get them. Now, one tip that has nothing to do with knowing the material or anything else is don't change your answer.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that on a risk management level, your chances of changing your answer, and unless you have a solid reason why, I mean, you could be looking at it and you go, oh, you know, now I realize that wasn't the right, you know, sometimes you may not realize exactly what they're asking. And so after you've gone through the whole exam, all of a sudden the wording makes sense and you go back and you change your answer. So if you got a solid reason why you need to change your answer, then that's one thing. But just, you know, I don't really know the answer, but this one feels better than the other, but I think I'm going to change it. No, don't ever do that. The other thing is there are no, you know, I mentioned early on that there are no trick questions. However, there are very specifically worded questions. And so if I could pound anything into anyone's head, I would say read the question and actually read the question. Don't just skim the question. Read the question. Look for qualifiers. Look for things that would make one answer valid and the other answer not valid. And so if I'm struggling with a question, then what I do is I would take, you know, if you have the context of the question, I would start, you know, with A, B, C, or D. You know, you start with A. Is there anything in this answer that is disqualified by any of the conditions of that question? And you think about, you know, so I start disqualifying answers, you know, and usually you'll come down then to two answers. And then from there, again, think about the context of the question. Look for things that make one true and the other one not the right answer. And once you, you know, but again, that means you have to understand the concepts and how they're applied. So if you know the material and you understand the concepts and you understand the right processes, then that process of elimination should be a lot easier because you'll know, well, I can't possibly be this because of this other factor. And so that'll help you eliminate the distractors, if you will. And then you'll get
there. Yeah, good stuff. Good. All right. So in the time we have left here, we've really gone through the process and the technical aspect and the logical path of how we're going to select the exam, prepare for the exam, and take the exam. But, you know, you've been down that path, obviously, very successfully multiple times. But really, what's the best part of, is it the, you know, the satisfaction of having passed the exam? What's the part that keeps you coming back to it and, you know, looking at those letters after your name and you feel like, you know, I've accomplished something and this is great for my career? You know, why, if you had to tell somebody, why should you take this advanced level exam? I mean, what's the bottom line for them?
Well, in my case, I had a very selfish reason for wanting to take the as many certifications as I could. And one of those is my degree. So my degree is in education. And so if I'm applying for a job in software testing, which is basically, you know, a very technical field, you know, there could be an inclination as the employer's looking over a stack of resumes, you know, and he sees, well, here's Tom and he's got a degree in education, and here's Joe and Sally, and they've got technical degrees, you know, that are like programming or whatever. So why would I take Tom, the education degree guy, over, you know, someone with a more technical or even more recent, because I'm not exactly 20 years old, a more recent degree, you know. And one of those could be, yeah, but Tom's certified literally in every certification that's possible in his field. And all these other two people have are literally their degrees, and they may or may not have any exposure to software testing at all, for all we know, right? And then to hit the other half of that, again, like I said, I'm not 20 years old, so my education degree from whenever, you know, even if I had a let's say if I had a technical degree from, let's say, 1985, how valid is that in 2017 in terms of an employer that wants to determine who he wants to hire? Well, if your degree, let's say, is from 1985, but you've also got all these certifications, that shows that you've not only, you know, gone through and got your degree, et cetera, or maybe you don't have a degree, but you have applied yourself and in the specific area that you're applying for, and you have successfully demonstrated your knowledge of software testing. I think that that's actually a big benefit for a lot of people. Because for me, it really isn't worth it to go back to college and do it all over again. It's just not, right? It's just the amount of investment versus the return just wouldn't make sense. So the way I made up for that is by really applying myself and getting my several certifications.
Now, so you, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but you've been with your current large enterprise for some period of time, the same company. And so there's really, it's not just for people that are looking out at other jobs. And I certainly don't want to scare away any managers or directors
right.
You know, that are thinking about sending the people. But this really develops and provides a career path for you and a path for promotion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it does. And like I said, when I first came here, you know, I was hired to be a test lead for our web enterprise and e-commerce site, you know, and that was pretty much what it was. But as I developed and got more certifications, they're like, well, you know, maybe he could do this too. And so I took on more responsibilities and then, you know, eventually worked up into where now I'm managing the test efforts for, like I said, five major enterprise level areas that are, you know, critical areas, including international, some e-commerce, back-end, database, middleware, and different enterprise applications. All those come under my testing management. And I don't know that they would have felt as comfortable doing that if I hadn't demonstrated that I had the knowledge to do it. And so it's not like, you know, they sent me to class, I got my certification, and then I looked for a new job. But it was you know, I applied it to the job I had at hand. And then also the other thing I did was as I, the other big benefit is that as I got various and sundry classes under my belt and developed the certification, we actually use a lot of our business people to do some of our UAT testing. And so they are, you know, they have a normal day job, you know, their job isn't being a full-time tester, but when we need them to test a particular functional area, you know, they volunteer or get volunteered. And, but we want someone, right? They want someone to help direct their efforts so that they are doing meaningful testing. And so one thing I've done is I've done a lot of training of our business users so they can have a more systematic approach and do and provide more meaningful results from our UAT. And at the same time, you know, they're doing their day job as well, but they don't have to have dedicated testers. As long as I can review what they're doing and I can ensure that the results they're coming back with are meaningful. And so this has saved the company a lot of money of not having to go out and hire, you know, 50 dedicated testers or something. You know, we can borrow people. Cause I, you know, I'm of a a belief that, you know, you can train anyone to be a tester as long as they have the right attributes, you know, and they have the right motivation. So
And they have the right leadership, and that's right. So I mean, you probably just sold a whole bunch of directors right now on the concept that once you said the word save money, and I think that is true. I mean, ASTQB has coined the phrase "keep your software out of the headlines," and I think that there's you know, a whole public element here that as software testers, you probably are a little bit worried about, but as you go up that hierarchy, you realize that this is make or break for some people in terms of keeping that software out of the headlines and ultimately keeping the costs away as well. So there's a huge cost advantage to quality testing, and I think you're a great example of that. Tom, I want to, so you probably answered most questions people would have. Would it be okay if we invited people to send in any questions they might have about advanced testing, and maybe we can either have you field those, we'll post them back on the ASTQB website, maybe we'll do a follow-up podcast at some point. Would that be okay if we did that?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to do it. You know, because you know, we're a community. You know, the testers are a community, and it's still a fairly small community if you look at it as a whole. And so we're all out to help each other out. And so, yeah, I don't mind that at all. And of course, you know, this is just one person's opinion and one viewpoint, but I am, you know, I do try to look at it from a, you know, kind of a wide perspective. And so if my experience can help anybody in any way, I'm more than happy to do that.
Great. What we'll do is we'll post a special email address or form on the page where this podcast is being housed, and we'll also make that available on the various advanced pages of the ASTQB website. So look for that and send in your questions, and we'll begin to assemble an FAQ that I think will really help people. So that's great. Tom, I want to thank you again for taking time to do this podcast with us. I mean, your experience is incredible. Your success is inspiring, and the very fact that you're willing to share with this community of testers is really gratifying. So I want to thank you once again.
Well, thank you for having me on.
All right. So I hope everyone can tune in for additional ASTQB podcasts in the future. And again, thanks to Tom, and send us your questions if you have any regarding advanced certification. We hope that you can join the ranks.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. We invite you to find more software testing podcasts, webinars, and white papers at www.astqb.org.